The Audiologist, a Phonak podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world listening to this podcast. The Audiologist is a podcast series created by Phonak to offer audiologists and people interested in audiology some new perspectives on hearing health topics. This podcast is part of the Pediatric series. My name's Jodie Nelson, and I'm the Global Pediatric Audiology Manager at Phonak headquarters in Switzerland. So who are we going to be talking to today? Well, today we'll be talking to Finn Gomez. So Finn was diagnosed with a hearing loss, he thinks, at around about 5 years of age. And he was first fit with hearing aids when he was around about seven. So Finn was actually a former Phonak TEED advisor, and he's here today to provide us with his perspective on living life as a person with hearing loss. And very specifically, how audiologists can work with teens as they start to transition from being fully dependent on their parents who are making all of the decisions to getting to the point where he can make the decisions for himself and being in charge of his hearing loss. So, Finn, welcome.
Hi, Jodie. Thanks so much for having me.
Not a problem. So, Finn, I just gave a little bit of insight into your hearing loss, but can you tell us a bit more about your hearing history?
Yeah, so let's start with maybe thinking it started at 5 years old. So originally I had failed my very first hearing test as a newborn. And magically the doctor came back after going, okay, we're going to redo it, and magically I passed. And as the years went on, you know, not too long, it didn't take very long, I started making up my own language. My speech was just atrocious. You could barely understand a word I was saying. I sounded like a minion. And over time, it got worse. And eventually, okay, something's wrong. So my parents, you know, said, okay, we need to get a second opinion to go somewhere else. And we went to the first doctor, and they went, okay, yeah, it looks like you have some kind of hearing loss. We want to put tubes in. And at first, my mom was like, no, he's crazy. This can't be true. Because she was like, I was very smart for my age, and I was more active than kids my age, and, you know, especially the school I was going to. So it was very different for them to think, okay, he's not very struggling that much. He's just having a really hard time speaking. Maybe it's just speech issues. We tried speech, and eventually, like, okay, he's got hearing loss. And we had tubes put in to try to drain excess fluid. And unfortunately, the left one was left in for too long and became infected. And there had to be emergency surgery done to repair my eardrum using cartilage from behind my ear. And that caused a drop in my left ear to moderate severe, and my right ear to, like, mild moderate. And to this day, it's pretty much holding the same, even somehow through all the bands I'm in. You know, a lot of music and a lot of loud noise. So I will take what I can get.
So do you remember what it was like first getting the hearing aids?
Yeah, I'll never forget it. I mean, I could recreate the entire room.
Tell us about it. What was your initial reaction?
I think it was more just like, I'm missing a lot of stuff besides candy wrappers, you know? I opened the candy wrapper and it was the crinkle. I've never heard the crinkle before.
Right.
And it was just really, really different because it was like, there were ambient noises. There were noises besides people talking, besides, you know, cars going past you. And then I went up to scratch my hair, or like just scratch my head, and my hair made like a noise. And I was like, what? I remember looking over at my mom and she was bawling her eyes out.
A typical mother.
My dad was sitting there, you know, he rarely smiles. So he just had the little grin, you know, and it was, I'll never forget that. And the room, I can still picture the entire layout and how the room was set up.
Wow. So even though in your right ear you had mild, moderate hearing loss and more significant hearing loss in your left ear, you could notice that difference, that benefit straight away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even on the way home, like, I had to take them out, which I hear sometimes is normal, you know, you have to, if you wear them so much. But for me, it was very, very different to hear birds.
Cool.
Because I mean, most of the time you don't even know they're there until you hear them chirping.
So I'm going to move on to a little bit later than this first fitting now. You seem to be a really confident guy. Was that always the case, or did that need to be fostered in you?
I think yes and no. So I was always pretty independent, but I wasn't sociable, is how you say it. And I think I was very confident in myself and what I could do for a long time, but I kind of stuck to myself, and I still usually most of the time stick to myself. And I think working especially with Phonak was a great way to get a lot more confidence. And being part of the Phonak Teen Advisory Board was something that really took it to the next level. It forced me to confront, you know, fears of speaking in public, and it wasn't one of those rare occurrences where you had to go out and speak. It was something that became normal.
So being part of the Teen Advisory Board, you would have also got to meet other teen advisors, and they would have are living in the same world as such as you are. Did that assist with, you know, your confidence?
Absolutely. I think it finally gave someone to look to, you know, or had a friend that can understand what you're talking about. And before that, there was maybe one kid or two kids the entire time while I was in elementary school and middle and high school that actually had any kind of hearing loss. And, you know, one kid was completely deaf. One kid had very, very mild loss. So it was very hard to ever see someone that had very, you know, similar hearing loss to you. And with the Teen Advisory Board, it was incredible to see almost every different kind of hearing loss was represented.
And so you created a community then.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yes, and we still talk to this day.
So, Finn, if we just now think about your audiologist, I assume that you've had a number of audiologists along the way?
Yeah, I believe I have about four or five different audiologists and, you know, ENTs and stuff like that.
And so was there one audiologist or maybe a couple of audiologists who really helped you as far as being confident as a person with hearing loss and coming to terms with your hearing loss?
Yes, absolutely. I think my most recent audiology department has really been above and beyond.
And so what did that audiologist do in particular to help you?
You know, I always say that my current audiologist has been amazing at trying absolutely anything. They're not the kind of audiologist that goes, all right, you know, we turned your gain up, you can go now. It's they take the time to work with me and to see if there's a better setting for this, or maybe there's something a little unorthodox, or there's something that they can do differently, and it might mean taking some more time. You know, there's days where I've been there for multiple hours to work on one issue and to get fitted, and it's not like they're rushing me out the door. They're not worried about that. They're worried about making sure what I need is correct.
So do you remember, you know, when you first started and you were getting those hearing aids, your mum and your dad would have been making all the decisions for you. And then at some stage, it would have transitioned to you being the main one talking and you making the decisions. Do you remember that happening?
Yes. It was more of a gradual thing, of course. But I was also very independent, like I was saying earlier, from a younger age. And I think that really helped me transition earlier than most kids do. It wasn't like at 18 I was suddenly making phone calls to the doctors for appointments and I was terrified I had to talk to a doctor. But I think it was more of a gradual shift that started very young because I knew what I wanted. I knew what I needed to hear. And oftentimes, you know, the audiologist before my current one would look at my mom and ask her questions. And she'd look at me and I would answer. So that's something that happened a lot. And I, you know, when the audiologist took care or made sure to look at me and ask the question, that really helped.
So obviously your mom was really important in that transition
as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I would not be this far without her.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. And can you give us an example of at some stage in your life you would have needed something specific from your hearing aids? Can you think of an example of when there was that? And then what did the audiologist do about it?
My S's, I can barely say S's over the microphone, have always just been terrible because my hearing loss is, you know, for the most part, I have a hard time hearing the end, the beginning of words. So S's I've never really heard. And I remember my current audiologist, I would be complaining that I couldn't hear my S's, and my mom would go, your S's are really bad. And even if you're listening to this now, the audiologist would know what I'm saying. Anyone else probably doesn't think I'm saying an S. And I believe we changed It's something we worked on the other day, and we changed it. You turned it off completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what it was called. Do you remember?
That would have been Sound Recover.
Sound Recovery. Yeah, we messed around with so many settings with Sound Recovery. And I mean, there were even points where we raised the very top of my audiogram on the hearing themselves to hear more in that part of that area of sound.
Do you mean the high frequencies?
Yes, that's probably the correct term.
Yep.
We raised the high frequencies almost all the way to the max, just temporarily, just so it was harsh every single time I heard it. And that was really cool because it did help me. My S's are a little bit better now.
Cool. So even if it was a temporary solution, that audiologist knew what that need was and thought outside the box, as you were saying before, to try and help you with that specific situation.
Absolutely. It wasn't like, that's a you problem. It's a me problem. We're going to help you figure it out.
Fantastic. So if you could give the audiologists out there listening to this podcast, any advice on how to work specifically with teens or tweens, what would that advice be?
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, if they're listening to the podcast, that probably means they're one of the good ones and that they love what they do and they're good at it. But I think they probably already know the answers, to take the time to listen to the teen. And even if you know what the correct answer is, try to let them figure it out. It's going to make them feel more confident about the solution, more confident about their hearing, even if it's wrong. Maybe they have to go through it and experience that it was wrong because they wanted to try something different. Even if you know it was right, it's like the same thing with when you're a kid and your parent tells you to do something, you want to act out against it. You don't want to agree with them just because they're your parent. And I think it's really the same with an audiologist. If they tell you it's got to be this way, you might not agree with it. You might want to go the other way. So let them have the choice, and then maybe you have to fix it later.
So what I'm hearing you say is that the audiologist should allow the teen to be in charge
of
their hearing.
They're the one thing, too.
Even if you really don't think it's going to work, then just let them try it.
Yeah, and just you could guide them to the right answer, of course. But it should never be like, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do. Because that locks them into a thing of, I have no control over my own life, my own hearing.
And I guess the other option that we have here now, and you didn't have this option as you were growing up, is the remote support. And so if, for example, we played with your hearing aids and you didn't like them, then give you a week to try them out and then just have a quick remote support appointment to put them back to where they were before if you realize that maybe that wasn't the best decision.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that is, to me, it's mind-boggling, the remote support. I never would have ever said, wow, this is something that I think is coming in the future. Like, that is so far ahead of its time. And I haven't gotten a chance to use it yet, so, maybe we'll have to do something like that where I can experience it. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what the next step is even, because right now they can do almost anything to fix remotely, and it saves everyone time.
Finn, thank you so much for sharing that part of your journey with us. I know that there will be a number of audiologists out there listening to it who are probably reflecting on some kids who they have who are very similar to you. And from what you were saying, it's so important to be able to empower that child with hearing loss to take ownership of their hearing loss and become a really confident teen and to be an advocate for their hearing loss. So thank you so much for sharing that detail with us.
It's an honor to be here with you, Jody. Thank you very much for having me.
And for those who would like some additional information on working with teens, go to the Phonak website and we have a page specifically for teens. And there's lots of resources there that have been created by teens and for teens. And there's also the guide to access planning. So stay tuned. We're going to have another podcast with Finn in this series where we're going to be finding out some exciting information about what he is doing right now. Thank you for listening.
The Audiologist, a Phonak podcast.